Morning. Today's daf in Tamid is Lamed Zayin. This is the end of the Masechta. We are finishing up the last of the Mishnayos regarding Masechta Tamid. Sorry, I said Tamid. I meant Midas. Okay. Short correction, small correction. We're doing the end of the fourth and the fifth prakim of Midos, and as such, we are going to be finishing up not only Masechta Midos this morning, but we're also finishing up Seder Kachim. This is it. This is the finality of Seder Kachim. Through these Mishnahs that we're going to be covering, we have now covered not only all of the Gemaras regarding Seder Kachim, right, the big ones that opened up, Zvach, Menachos, Chulin, but on top, and Bechoros, but on top of that, the smaller Masechtas, and on top of that, Masechtas, even smaller Masechtas that don't have any Gemara to it. Okay, so Meir Shapiro, when putting together the Daf Yomi, so he had us doing every Mishnah in Seder Kachim, and that is in fact exactly what we've done. If you take a look at in the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, we left off yesterday, we're up to Mishnah Gimel. We're in the fourth parak of Masechta Midos, and today we'll be finishing up the fourth parak, starting and finishing the fifth parak, and with that we're being Masayim. What is Masechta Midos about? So, as we've now had 3 days of Masechta Midos, so you know, Masechta Midos is a overview of the layout of the second Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash, which we've gone through now in detail from the Har HaBayis interior. We've covered the entire area of the Har HaBayis, the entire area of the Azara, the Ezras Nashim, the Azara. We've gone basically through every piece of the operations in the Beis HaMikdash. And in the end now of these Mishnayos here in the fourth parak. So we're going to be going over the actual Heichal itself, the building itself, the structure. We already went yesterday into the Ulam, that's the antechamber, that's the foyer, into the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, that doorway into the Ulam is not a regular doorway. Coated doorways are 10 by 20, 10 amas wide, 20 amas high. That's your standard doorway in the Beis HaMikdash, the entrance going into the Ulam was 20 by 40. There was no doorway into that of the Ulam. It was just a curtain. You walk into the Ulam, and you're in this big, big foyer, this big antechamber, and now you're looking at the doorways into the Heichal. We described yesterday the doorways into the Heichal, double doors, right? How exactly do the double doors open up? So that was the Machlokas HaTanayim. Some Tanayim say that they both opened up into the interior. One opened up into the interior of the passageway, and the second set of doorways opened up into the interior of the Heichal. Another position that we saw yesterday is that the double doors folded onto itself, much like our folding closets. So they folded onto themselves, so the 5-amma doorways folded in half to 2.5 ammas, and they both folded into the passageway of the doorway. Those were the two opinions that we saw. How do you open up the doors to the Heichal? So that, as we discussed yesterday as well, there were two pishpishim, there were two small entrances on the side of the Heichal, one to the north, one to the south. The southern entrance is not used. Pasuk in Yecheskel, which we quoted already a couple times, the northern entrance is the access point. You walk into the northern entrance, the small northern pishpish. There was a key, two-key system. The Kohen walked in. Now, exactly where the Kohen went from there, that was a Machlokas HaTanayim. Some Tanaim are of the opinion that the Kohen would go into the first office area. That office area is called the Tuf Aleph. We're going to be talking a lot about that at the opening of our Mishnayos. And then from that first Tuf, which is on the northeastern side of the Heichal, there would be another passageway to get him to go into the Heichal. Once the Kohen's in the Heichal proper, now he can unbolt the door from the inside. And that's how he opened up to the Heichal. That's one opinion. A second opinion, which we saw yesterday, the opinion of Rav Yehuda, is that, again, the Kohen walks in through the Pishpesh. There is now a way of accessing from right behind the Pishpesh to the center of the doorways, meaning between the two doorways. And from there, he would unfold or fold up the two doorways, the interior and the exterior, from where he was standing. And that was the second opinion that we saw in yesterday's Gemara. So now we are basically at the point of the Heichal itself. The Mishnah is where Mishnah Gimel and Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Mishnahs are going to be describing now the perimeter of the Heichal. Now the Heichal is an edifice, it's a building, but it's a complex building with not just one central room, or I should say two central rooms, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but there were many rooms along the side as well, and that's what our Mishnah is describing. If you have pictures, I happen to have pictures in front of me. If you have pictures, so all this will be much easier to look at and to, it'll be easier for me to explain if you're looking at the pictures. But again, like I've been doing the last couple of days, I will make an attempt to give a descriptive visualization of the Beis HaMikdash so you can see it somewhat in your mind. So there were 38 office spaces that were there. Now I say office spaces. Office gives the impression that someone's sitting at a desk and working. Probably not. Office of right the time the cells these little rooms are probably used for storage and other such functions. There were 38 in total. Hayusham 15 b'tzofen, 15 b'darav, 8 b'marav. 15 on the north side, 15 on the south side, and 8 on the west side, making for a total of 38. Shebetzofen shebedarav chamisha al gabei chamisha. Now, if I looked at the north side or at the south side, so it was parallel to one another. Meaning it would be three stories, five storage rooms on top of each. Five storage rooms, and then that repeated two more times. So basically, it was three floors of five storage rooms on the north side, and the same thing on the south side as well. V'chamisha al gabeim, usheba ma'arav, shlosha al gabeim, shlosha v'shlaim al gabeim. Now, if I went all the way to the west side, so what am I going to find within the western wall of the heichal? So you're going to find three, three, and two. Three on the first floor, three on the second floor, two on the top floor. Now, if you're in any one of these rooms, there are going to be three ways of exiting. One to the room to your right, one to your room to your left. Here it doesn't really matter, right, left. In other words, as long as there's an adjoining room, one to the right, one to the left, and one to get to the one above it. So, if you're in any one of these rooms, there's a way of accessing the room next door on either side and the room directly above, right? Either a ladder or a level of stairs. The Mishnah does not give specifics. Uve keren mizrach tzfonis. Now, if I'm in the most northeastern room of these rooms, so if you can now imagine, you're in the Heichal and you are looking northbound, so you're all the way now to the east. So the most northeastern room, hayu chamisha pesachim. So that particular room had five entrances. Echala tamiyamin, ve'echala tashak abav. One to the left of it, if you're facing it, whatever. In other words, there's only one room next to it. So one to the ta next to it, one to the ta above it. Echala mesiba, one to the ramp. Ramp? What ramp? First time that we're hearing about the ramp. So again, within the walls of the heichal, these are very thick walls. Within the walls of the Heichal, there was a ramp. The ramp started basically within the walls, but exterior to the Ta, and it started all the way on the northeast side of the Heichal, and from there was an access point from this most northeast room to get to this ramp, and what you would do is you would then walk the rampway, and we're going to actually take a tour walking this exterior rampway. I say exterior. It doesn't mean it's on the outside of the wall. It's still interior to the wall, but exterior to the top. Ve'echel lepishpesh, another access point from this most northeastern room, is to the pishpesh, which we already described. That's from the outside of the heichal. And ve'echel lehechal, and one to get into the actual heichal itself. That was according to the opinion of the Tanakhama that we saw yesterday. So from the most northeastern room, there are actually five access points, even though it only abutted one other office space to its left.
Hata- go from the bottom and up. You have to go from the outside, not from the...
Well,
there's no hole inside to go from one room to the...
It sounds like from the Mishnah. The Mishnah describes that there's some sort of way of getting from the room below to the room directly above.
There was a hole in the floor?
That's what it sounds like. Again, the Mishnah is not super descriptive, but the Mishnah says that. The Mishnah says that from every room, you can get to the one directly above it. Hatachton chamisha v'rova chisha. Now, in terms of the interior walls of the Heichal... So over here, what the Mishnah is describing is that if you're looking at the most interior wall of the Heichal, so it was thicker on the bottom, and then it tapered as you moved up.
Right.
Now, it sounds correct, because generally speaking, when it comes to building, so you want a wider foundation towards the bottom. So if you're looking at just the wall of the Heichal, the interior wall of the Heichal, so on the very bottom, it was 7 amas wide, and then you moved up one floor up, 6 amas wide, one floor up, 5 amas wide, and then from that point going forward, the wall was 4 amas wide. But if I were to look now at that bottom floor, it'd be seven amas of Heichal. Sorry, yeah. Seven amas of Heichal, then a five amma wide office space, then there would be an exterior wall to that, which is five amas wide, then the ramp, and then another wall on top of that. So that is basically the walls going from the interior to the exterior. Okay. Again, if you're looking at a picture like I am right now, it's just much easier to see this. Hatachtona, now this bottom, chamisha. So this bottom office is now going to be five amas wide. The Mishnah over here is just describing the open area of the ta, not the wall adjoining it, but just simply the open area of the ta. V'rovat shisha. Now on top of it, there was a floor for the room above it. And now that floor was six amas. Now why is that floor six amas if the room itself is five amas? Because again, if you're picturing, so now because the wall has tapered in by one amma. So now what you could do is you could put a flooring on top of it of six amas. So now if you're on the second floor, if you're now following the interior wall, six amas, and the open area next to it is also going to be six amas. And then if I go up one more floor, so the wall's now been tapered in one more amma, that's five amas of wall, that's seven amas of office space. So it's interesting how you're moving up to the second and third floor of these offices. So each of these rooms now are getting one amma larger. I'll read the Mishnah inside. Hatachtona chamisha v'rova shisha. V'amsa shisha v'rova sheva. V'ayona sheva shenemra. Hayithi hatachtona chamish ba'amar rachva. V'atichona shesh ba'amar rachva. V'ashlisha sheva ba'amar rachva. Now over here, it's a pasuk in Malachim describing the first base of Mikdash. Interesting, by the way, because we're describing the second base of Mikdash. But in this area of structure and construction, so the first and second base of Mikdash are parallel to one another. So you have three offices within the walls of the Heichal, and each one of them gets a little bit wider as the wall of the Heichal itself gets tapered in a little bit. Next Mishnah. Now, as far as the ramp is concerned, we've already described the ramp. The access point to this ramp is by the most northeastern office space, where from there you're going to go to the exterior by going through the, there's a passageway obviously, by going through the wall and now hitting this ramp. So what you're going to do is that this ramp basically allows you to ascend to the top of the Heichal. Now how exactly does the ramp do this? So what the ramp is going to do is that the ramp obviously inclining up, starting on the bottom of the northeast. So that ramp now is going to go up as you're moving west. And the Mishnah describes, this allows you to get to the roof of the Tom. So what you're able to do now is basically follow the ramp and you're walking along the northern side, keep ascending with every step that you take up the ramp. Until you get all the way to the west side. Now when you get to the west side, you make a left-hand turn, you're now facing south. And now you're going to be walking along the western side on this ramp. This ramp is continuing. And now, when you get to the south, you're going to be making your second left-hand turn. And now you're going to be facing the east. And now you're going to get to the entrance of the roof. Because the entrance to the roof now is going to be on the south side. So for you to get to the roof of these tas, so you're basically going to make a U, right? You're going to follow a ramp in the shape of a U, starting all the way in the northeast corner, ascending, making a left turn, making a second left turn. You're now on the south side, and at that point in time, now you get to the roof. Now, just because you're at the top of the roof does not mean you're on the top of the Heichal. If you're looking at a picture of the Heichal, you will note that the offices, the time, only go three floors up. As far as the Heichal itself is concerned, that went 100 amas into the air. So there is obviously a tremendous gap between the roof of the Ta and the roof of the Heichal. How do you get from the roof of the Ta to the roof of the Heichal? If you're afraid of heights, you do not want to hear this. There's going to be a ladder that is going to allow you to ascend from the top of the roof of the Ta to now the top of the Heichal. That is a very tall ladder. Now, while you're in this ramp, So how do you know where you are relative to the actual Heichal itself? Because as you know, as you're walking now westbound on that first ramp, going from the northeast to the northwest, as you're heading westbound, eventually you're going to cross the line that gets you from Kodesh to Kodesh Kadashim. So there's Rosh Pispasim. There are some sort of markers on the ground that tells you you're no longer in Kodesh, but now you're in the area of Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'lulana yipstuchim ba'alila beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, shebehein mashashin esa umnim betichos, kedei shalo yizinu enehem, mei beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that now you know that there's a little attic that allows you to gain access from the top of these ta'im into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so, if there was work that needed to be done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you basically have, right, if you can just imagine, picture those skyscrapers and the people standing on the side washing the windows, being lowered on these contraptions. Sorry, I don't know its proper name. So the basically, it's a similar structure in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where you're going to have workers working. They're going to be enclosed in this box as they're being lowered. And if they need to work on the wall, so they'll work on the wall. And the access point to get in is going to be from the roof, and the access to the roof we just described. Okay. And the Mishnah says over here that as far as the workers are concerned, they're enclosed in the box because they don't want these workers to actually see any more of the Kodesh Kedashim, more than they, of course, have to actually see. Next Mishnah, Eichel Me'al Me'al, Arum Me'al. Now, as far as the Heichel is concerned, we're going to take now an entire snapshot of the entire Heichel. It is 100 Amas by 100 Amas, with a height of 100. Now, if you're looking at the Heichel itself, it's not a box, meaning it's not a perfect square, even though the Mishnah says 100 by 100 by 100. What the Mishnah means by that is that from a foundation standpoint, it's 100 by 100. The eastern-western plane is 100. The north-south plane is 100, foundation-wise. As you're moving up, so it is still going to be the same 100 at the front. I say the front, I mean the east side, but on the back, however, it's just going to be the actual Heichel itself, which means that it's narrower in the back. As far as the height is concerned, so whatever, the entire height is not 100. In terms of the front, it is 100 high, but in terms of the back, the Heichel itself is going up 100. The foundation stops, obviously, at the foundation. But anyway, at its high point, it's 100. At its most eastern and western point, it's 100. And at its most northern southern point, it's also 100. Ha'otem Sheish Amos. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're basically now going to climb the Heichal. We're starting at the ground level. We're moving our way up to get to the full 100 of its height. So now we're doing the vertical measurements. Ha'otem Sheish Amos, the actual foundation is 6 Amos. V'gova Arba'im Amos. And now the interior space is going to be 40 Amos. That's the first floor. V'ama Kior. There's an Amma of Kior. Now, Kior over here does not mean the washing basin. That we described earlier, and that's not what the Mishnah over here is describing. Kior is a word the Mishnah is using to describe some sort of interior ornamental ceiling of the first floor. V'amasayim beis dofa. Now you had cross beams. That's the beis dofa. V'amatikra. On top of the cross beams, you had the actual roof itself, but it's not really a roof. In other words, that now creates the foundation for the second floor. Va'ama maziva, and then there was another layer on top of that, some sort of pitch or tar, whatever. V'gova shel aliyah, the mem amas. Now the second floor interior was 40 amas. So if you can now imagine, the first floor is 40 amas. It's approximately 8 stories, just to give a visualization. And the second floor of the Heichal, same thing. Also, interior 40 amas, about 8 floors. Ama kior v'amasayim beis dofa v'ama tikra. So v'ama ma'aziva. And the same structure in terms of the ornamental ceiling, the cross beams, the actual roof of that second floor. And then gimel ma'amos ma'aka. Now, in terms of the actual roof itself. So the roof itself was an area you could theoretically walk upon. So therefore ma'aka, they put a fence around. I learned a new word recently, parparet. Right? The parapet. Sorry for my pronunciation. Okay, fine. So they put a fencing around the top of it. That's the maka. It was 3 amas high. V'ama kala orev, and also there was an ama of kala orev. What is kala orev? Kala orev, which we discussed numerous times. So basically, it was a way on the top of the Mizbech of keeping away the birds, right? Birds happen to love high areas, and so there was something on the top that kept away birds. Now, what are they? The simplest shot is that we're talking about spikes. Spikes that are on the very top of the Mizbeach so that the bird had nowhere to actually land and put its feet upon. That's one pshat. There are some pshatim, we saw them. We saw this back earlier, is that it's some sort of scarecrow on the top. It's very difficult because over here we're talking structurally about the Mizbeach. They say that the Kalei Orev is just simply a scarecrow. It doesn't sound like that's a structural feature of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Haya Kalei Orev Ola Min Amida Ela Arba Amos Haya Maka. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Kalei Orev is not factored into the dimension, meaning it was there, but it wasn't factored in. So how do you get to 100? Meaning, I didn't do the sum total. But either you trust me, or on your own, you'll do the sum total. If you add up all the numbers that were given to us from the foundation, the Otem foundation of 6, Amos, and you add every number that's given to us, you're going to get to 100. If Rabbi Yehuda is not counting the Kalei Orev, so he didn't get to 100, he only got to 99. Oh, but he's of the opinion that the Makkah is 4 Amos high. So therefore, that's how he got to the number 100. Next Mishnah. Mishnah Zayin. Mimizrach L'Ma'arav. Now we're going to go from east to west. So we're going to be taking a look at the structural dimension from a horizontal plane, going from the east side of the Heichal to the west side of the Heichal. Mimizrach L'Ma'arav Me'am Kosel Ulam Chamesh. So the Kosel is 5 Amos. Now the ulam itself, the antechambers, 11 amas. Kosel haechal sheish. The wall of the haechal, 6 amas. Vesocha arba'im ama. The interior from east to west is 40 amas. That's the actual interior of the haechal. What's in the interior of the haechal? Well, this we already know. We have the mizbeach azav, the golden mizbeach. We have the shulchan on the north side, the menorah on the south side. That's it. That's your furniture. That's everything that's inside of the Heichal. There are steps, right? I know there's a little bit more. There are steps going up to the menorah, 3 steps that go up to the menorah. But then the next thing that you're going to find structurally is going to be the curtain separating the Kodesh, the Heichal, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, the Mishnah over here describes it as an amatraxin. Amatraxin, basically, there are 2 curtains with a 1 amma space in between them. In Yuma, we spend time describing the Kohen when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Yom Kippur. So he's going into the spaceway, the passageway between the 2 curtains. If I remember correctly, entrance is from the south side. He would then walk through the 2 curtains, and then he would end up on the north side of the of this passageway, and it makes a left hand turn. Now he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we have this 1 amma area for the traxin, esrim amma base Kodesh HaKadoshim, 20 amma space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Obviously, the Kodesh Kodashim is where the Aron is located. Kosel HaHechal. But now we keep going westbound. The actual wall. This is the most interior wall of the Heichal. Sheish V'Atah Sheish. So it's 6, and the Ta itself is going to be 6. Now, just earlier this morning, we learned that not offices are 6 Amas interior. So obviously, the Mishnah over here is describing the second floor, if you remember. In other words, the first floor, it was 7 Amas of wall, 5 Amas of Kosel. So over here we're describing the second floor, 6 amas of wall, 6 amas of the top. The Kosel HaTach Chamesh, and the final wall is going to be 5. So that gets you to a total of the 100 from east to west. Minit Sofon LaDaron, Shivam Amah. From the north to the south, it's going to be 7 amas. I'm sorry, 70 amas. Basically, now what we're going to do is that we're going to do the same thing, but we are now going to go from north to south. But we are going to still go horizontally from north to south, and it's going to come out to a total of 70. Now, I know the number 70 sounds a little bit confusing because not long ago we said it was 100 from north to south. So stay tuned because we're going to adjust for that extra 30 that makes up the 100. I lost my spot. Here we go. Minatzafel and Darim Shivim Amma. From north to south is 70 Amas. Kosel Amasiba Chamesh VaMasiba Shalosh. So, going from north to south, you have the Masiba, right? That's that ramp. You have the outside of it, meaning the most exterior wall, the Kosel HaMasiba, the wall. So, let's start from the most northern. The first, you have the Kosel Masiba. That's the wall for the Masiba. Then you have the actual ramp itself, the Masiba. Then, and that's 5 and 3. I'm not going to do the sum total. You You'll either do it or you'll trust me. One of the two. So Kosel Hata Chamesh. Then you have the wall of the offices, which is five amas. Vata Shesh, and the Ta itself is Shesh. Kosel Hachi Hechel Shesh. The wall. This is the most interior wall, right up to the Hechel. So that's going to be six. Again, the Mishnah is doing the same thing we did just moments earlier. That in giving us the interior of the Ta and the interior wall, six and six. We're looking at the second floor. Vitocho Esrimama. Now, going from north to south, the interior of the Hechel is 20 amas. So if you're figuring now, the Hechel itself, when you're in the Hechel, 40 amas long, 20 amas wide. So Kosal Hechel Shesh, now we're just going to do the same thing with the other side. So the Kosal Hechel 6 and the Ta Shesh and the Kosal Ata Chamesh Ubeis Horadas HaMayim Shalosh Amos. Now, there is an area of Horadas HaMayim. This is the first time we're hearing about some sort of drainage within the walls of the Hechel. What exactly is this drainage for? Not clear. The Mishnah really doesn't speak much about it. This is going to be our only mention and reference of some sort of drainage system within the Hechel. But it was on the southern wall. And the most exterior wall is 5 amos. You put all those numbers together and you go to the total of 70. Now, we said earlier that the foundation, even from the north-south, is to 100. So why over here are we only counting 70? The answer is very simple. Because after the foundation, the actual Heichal itself was only 70 amas from north to south. So why is the foundation 100? So that's to account for the Ulam. The Ulam was, from north to south, a full 100. And that's what we're about to learn right now. Ha'ulam ha'odef alav chamesh esrei amas amam min ha'tzafon v'chamesh esrei amam min ha'darom v'hu aya nikra beis ha'chalifos. Now, if you walk into the ulam, that's the antechamber, so that makes it the full 100 from north to south. That means that it extended 15 amas north of the Heichal, 15 amas south of the Heichal, and what was done with these areas of 15 amas, these extra 15 amas, Beis HaChalifa, so this is where the knives are stored. Shesham gonzim es hasakinim. That's the geniza, that's the storage place for the knives. Ve'echel tsar me'achor v'racham milafanav. Now, if you looked at the Heichal, you need a little bit of imagination over here, but the Mishnah here is giving us beautiful imagery. If you're looking at the Heichal now in its finished version, so what do you see? So from the front, I say the front, I mean from the east side, right, from its entrance. So from the front, it's very wide, because you had this massive ulam, which was, from north to south, a full 100. As you move back, meaning westbound, so it tapers now to 70 amas. So it's got a very thick, full front, and it's narrower as you move to the back. So again, this requires a little bit of imagination. So what can you see over here? So it looks vidome la'ari. Looks like a lion, right? You take a look at a lion. And the strong front, right front of the lion, the chest of the lion, the shoulders of the lion. So it's really wide in the front, and it trims down as you move to the back of the lion. Shenemar have hoy Ariel Kiryas Chana David. So the Navi describes, Pesuk in Yeshayahu. The Navi describes the Beis HaMikdash as being Ariel, meaning that this imagery is already given to us by the Nevi'im. And how can you see it? So basically, if you put the lion and the mizbech side by side, sorry, not mizbech. If you put the lion and the heichal side by side, so you could see this imagery. It's a, what do we gain from this kind of imagery? So I'll leave for the for those giving those giving drushas in terms of what exactly we gain. We are now on the last parak of Masechet Midos. We start with the Mishnah. This Mishnah now is going to be doing the same thing we did just moments earlier regarding the Heichal. We're going to be giving over here a full floor plan of the entire area of the Azara like we just did regarding the Heichal. We're going to be going horizontally. We're going to go also like we did regarding the Heichal itself. We're going to do the north-south. We're going to do east-west of the entire area of the Azara. Kol Azara Haisa Orech Me'av V'shmonim V'sheva Arochav Me'av V'shoshim V'chamesh. Entire horizontal dimension of the Heichal, 187 by 135. So that means to say now that the east-west, which is the longer side of the Azara, goes and extends a full 187. North-south, that's the shorter side of the Azara, so that's 135. And now the Mishnah is going to systematically account for every Amma that we find. Mina Mizrach Lamarav, to go now from the east to the west, Kufa Zayin. So that's going to be 187. Makom Drisus Ragla Yisrael, Yud Aleph. Interesting over here, by the way, the Mishnah does not factor in the walls of the Azara. By the Heichal, when we accounted for the 100 by 100, we included the walls. Over here, we're just doing interior dimension of the Azara. So the first 11 Amos is where the Drisus Yisrael, where the Yisraelim are walking, right? We call that earlier in our Mishnah Ezras Yisrael. Now, was there an actual elevation from Ezras Yisrael to Ezras Kohanim? So you remember that was up for debate. But the first 11 Amos were headed east to west. We're headed westbound. So the first 11 Amos were Ezras Yisrael, Amma Makom Drisus Kohanim. And then there's an Amma, Yudalf Amma Makom Drisus Kohanim. The next 11 Amos are where the Kohanim are going to be walking. And as we pointed out already, Yisraelim in theory could walk there as well, but they wouldn't go beyond the first 11 Amos of Ezras Yisrael. Hence the demarcation of Ezras Yisrael versus Ezras Kohanim. Achas Yisrael Amma, Achas Yisrael Amma. HaMizbech Shloshim V'Shtayim. Now the Mizbech itself is 32 Amos. Again, we're doing the same thing east to west. It's 32 Amos. We're obviously looking at the foundation of the Mizbech. Beino Ulam L'Mizbech Esrim V'Shtayim. Between the Ulam and the Mizbech is going to be 22 Amos. By the way, if you think about it, the Mizbech is centrally located between the entrance, the eastern entrance, and the actual Heichal. Meaning from the eastern entrance to the Mizbech, total 22. From the Mizbech to the entrance of the Ulam, 22. So that means that the Mizbech itself is, from an east-west standpoint, centrally located. Amma Hachel Kuf, Esrim V'Shtayim. Amma Hachel, you had an Amma. Right, I'm sorry. So V'Shtayim, Shtayim Amma. I'm sorry. Hachel Kuf Amma. Chel over here, reference to the actual Heichal itself. So that's 100 Amos. And then after that, another 11 Amos behind the Heichal, between the Heichal and the western wall of the Azara. That accounts for all 187. Now, Minatzaf and Ladarim, we're going to do the same thing now, but we're going to do now north-south. So Minatzaf and Ladarim, Mea V'Shoshim Chamesh, Minakefes L'Mizbech. Now, here, we're going to look at the north-south, but specifically the line that's drawn that runs through the Mizbech. Meaning we're going to do the 135, but we're going to see how the Mizbech fits into the 135. Here's where the Mishnah remains a little bit ambiguous, and that is exactly where the Mizbech is within the 135. We're going to have some idea, but to be fair and to be quite honest, the Mishnah is not super specific in terms of where the Mizbech is located on the north-south plane. You'll see. Minatzaf and Ladarim, from north to south. Mea v'shoshim v'chamesh. Total of 135. Mina kevesh l'mizbeach shishim v'shtayim. Now, in terms of the kevesh and the mizbeach, makes up the ramp and the mizbeach makes up a total of 62. 62 is a little bit strange because we know that the base of the mizbeach is 32 by 32. We also know that the ramp is 32. So how exactly is the ramp... How exactly is the ramp 32 and the total is going to be 62? Sounds like the total should be 64. So you remember, so first of all, Danny suggested that there could be overlap. That is what that's on the table for a discussion. Also, another suggestion would be that the 32 of the ramp is actually measuring the hypotenuse of the ramp, not the linear horizontal of the ramp. That's another possibility. Anyway, total of 62. Min ha-mizbech le-tabaos. Now, from the mizbech to the tabaos, those are the 24 rings. Shmona amos, that is 8 amos. Makom ha-tabaos esrim v'arba. And the actual area of the rings itself make up a total of 24 amos. Min ha-tabaos le-shulchanos, from the tabaos to the shulchanos, arba. That's 4 amos space. Min ha-shulchanos le-nanasim, arba. And from the shulchanos to the pillars with hooks on them, right, those short pillars, where the animals were hung and flayed, so that's 4 amos. Min ha-nanasim le-kosel, and from the nanasim to the kosel hazara shmona, that's 8 amos. V'hamosar, and here now the Mishnah doesn't actually give every one of the linear measurements. Whatever's left over, ben hakevesh le-kosel, umakom hananasim. Basically, we haven't accounted for all 135 amas north-south, but basically after you do the 62 and the areas of the hooks and the tables and the nasim, after that, whatever's left over, the difference between 135 and these numbers is going to be the area that is to the north of the hooks and to the south of the ramp. Okay, so like I pointed out, the Mishnayos are here not as clear and specific as it was when we went east to west. Sheishlik shakos hayyaba azara. Okay, we are almost done. There are three chambers that were in the azara. Shalosh b'tzafon. I'm sorry. Thank you. Six chambers in the azara. Shalosh b'tzafon v'shalosh b'darom. Three in the north and three in the south. Okay. Now we're talking now no longer about the actual entrances into the azara. We already spent some time talking about the entrances. Remember five entrances. Remember seven entrances. Remember 13 entrances. Okay, the Mishnayos admittedly, did try to confuse us a little bit regarding the actual number of entrances. But we're not talking about the entrances. What we're describing over here are edifices and buildings that are in the Azara itself. And there were six of them in the Azara. There were three in the north and three in the south. In the south. Shebet Safon in the north. Lishkas HaMelech, Lishkas HaParva, Lishkas HaMadichen. So the Chamber of Salt, the Parva Chamber, and the Lishkas HaMadichen, and a place where things were washed. Parva. This one's an interesting one. What is Parva? Who's Parva? What are we talking about over here? So, yeah. So the some are of the opinion, notably the Rambam, that there was a name of a magician. His name was Parva. And he was an Ish Amgushi. And what he did is that he bore a tunnel into the hole of the Azara in order to see the avoda being performed, and he was killed. Now, it creates for great drama, and a really simple question: why name a chamber after this man? After this man, unless you just want a simple and gentle reminder to anybody: hey, nobody else try this, because remember what happened to the last guy that tried this. Okay, could be, but admittedly, that's an interesting one. Now, Lishkas HaMelech Shama Yunosim Melech LeKarban. In the salt chamber, that's where the Karbanos got salted. Lishkas HaParva Shama Yum Molchin Oros Kachim. That's where the hides got salted. The Al Gagah Hayu Beis Tefila LeKohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. And on top of that was a second floor where there was a mikvah, and that's the one that the Kohen Gadol would tovel in on Yom Kippur. Now there were other mikvahs that we already discussed earlier in our Masechta, but this one's dedicated specific to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Lishkas HaMadichim Sheshama Yum Madichim Kirvei Kachim, and the Lishkas HaMadichim is where the internal organs of the animal are going to get washed out. Umisham Misiba Ola Lagag Beis HaParva, and from there's a ramp to get to the roof of the Beis HaParva. Okay, those are the northern chambers of the Azara. Next Mishnah, final Mishnah. Shebedarim in the south, Lishkas HaEitz, that is the chamber of wood. Lishkas HaGola, chamber of exile. Lishkas HaGazis, and the chamber of cut stone. Okay, let's explain. Lishkas HaEitz. Now, as far as the chamber of wood, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shachachti Ma'isa Mishameshes. This is now going to be, if I remember correctly, our second time in our Masechta that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov accounts for the fact that he does not remember what that Lishkas HaEitz was used for. The significance of him telling us that he does not remember, one, humility. It's good to say I don't know. Two, is that it identifies that the author of Masechta Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Abishol Omer Lishkas Kohen Gadol Haisa Achorei Shtehem. Abishol says that the Lishkas Kohen Gadol was behind the two of them. The Gag Shloshtem Shave, and the rooftop for these three chambers are on an even level. Lishkas HaGola Shamaya Bor Kavua. In the Lishkas HaGola, in the chamber of exile, there was a pit, Vagala Nasun Alav, and there was a pulley system. Umisham Maspikin Main Lechol HaAzara, and that was able to provide water for the entire Azara. Perhaps, basically, what we're looking at over here is a way of flooding the Azara to clean it out. Okay, right, Lahavdil, but last time I visited the barn, so they have it. They have a system in which basically you're able to flood the stall and basically then drain it, and it's a way of cleaning it out. So perhaps that's what's being described over here. Lishka, Lechol Azara, Lishka Sagazi Shamay Sasan Henshin Gandol Shi Yisrael Yosheves. Now, the final chamber on the north side, that's the Lishka Sagazis. Now, if you're looking at any kind of picture, you will see the Lishkas HaGazus finds itself all the way flush in the northeast corner of the Azara. And there, that's where the Sanhedrin would sit. Vidana Esa Kohuna. And aside from doing other judicial matter, they're going to be judging the Kohanim. The Masechta Midos over here is really, really focused on the actual Heichal itself and the Beis HaMikdash itself. So as far as the function of the Sanhedrin, the Mishnah over here is focused on the functioning as it relates to Kohanim. Kohen Shenimsa B'Psul. Now, if a Kohen goes in there because his lineage is questionable, maybe he has a blemish, not clear whether the blemish is going to disqualify him or not. So he goes into the Lishkas HaGazus, and what does he get? He gets a ruling. And Lovish, and if the ruling is that he's disqualified, Lovish Chorim is Atif Chorim, so he's coming out wearing black clothing. Obviously signifying that he is not working in the Beis HaMikdash. V'yotze v'holech lo. V'shalonim sabab sol. Now if a Kohen walks in there and turns out not to be disqualified, and the judgment that he receives is favorable in that he's allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, Lovish Levanim is Atif Levanim, so he wears white clothing. Nichnas Mashamish im echav kohanim, and he works together with his brothers. V'yomtav hayu osin shalom nimsa psul bizarus shal Aaron haKohen, and it was a personal yomtav on the day that he learns that he is not pasul. V'kachi omer baruch hamakom baruch hu shalom nimsa psul bizarus shal Aaron ubaruch hu shabachar ba'Aaron uvanav la'amod l'sharus lifnei Hashem beveis kachay hakadoshim, and a bracha, and the bracha is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu chose Aaron and his sons to do and serve in front of the Beis HaMikdash, and the bracha was given. Hadralach kol ha'zara, uslik la maseches midos. And with this, we conclude the fourth and fifth prakim of Masechta Midos. We also conclude all of Seder Kachin. Tomorrow, when we resume, we're starting Masechta Nida. As we know, I'll talk more about it obviously tomorrow morning. It is the only Masechta that we're going to be learning in the Daf Yomi of Seder Taharos. All the other Masechta Seder Taharos, that is, as they say, homework. Okay, but yeah, we all have 2 months.